We continue this morning in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, entitled Of Religious Worship and the Sabbath Day, and we are at section 7. So it's chapter 21, section 7, which reads as follows. As it is the law of nature that, in general, a due proportion of time be set apart for the worship of God, so in his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment binding all men in all ages, he hath particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. What this section is telling us is that the Sabbath was instituted by God at creation. We read in Genesis chapter 2, by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The creational Sabbath is presupposed by the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment, Exodus 20, says, remember the Sabbath day. And that's pointing us back to the creational Sabbath, or the Sabbath of nature that God instituted at the beginning. So the Sabbath was given to Adam and Eve in their primeval innocence, long before it was given by God to Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, this point is significant because before sin entered into the world, God provided a Sabbath for Adam and Eve and their children. And so the Sabbath is, in John Murray's fine phrase, a creation ordinance given by God for the good of all his creatures. Now, the significance of the Sabbath principle for the ordering of creation appears not only in the pattern of 6 days of creative activity followed by a day of rest. It also appears explicitly in the statement that God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. Genesis 2, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And this can only mean that God's blessing had a significant effect on the world he had made. Think of our Lord Jesus' words in Mark chapter 2. The Sabbath was made for man, generically, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not first a redemptive ordinance. It is a creational ordinance for the well-ordering and for the good and the blessing of the whole created order. Because it was good for man and for the whole creation, God instituted the Sabbath. Now, the sanctifying of the Sabbath indicates that the Lord of creation has established a pattern by which he is to be honoured as Creator. Now, this does not mean, this does not mean that there is no discontinuity between the Old Covenant creational Sabbath and the New Covenant Sabbath. For example, under the Old Covenant, the pattern was first 6 days of work and then a seventh day of rest. But under the New Covenant, the believer does not begin with work and then look forward to rest. he or she begins with rest. The rest of Christ's saving triumph, signalled in his resurrection, and then in the good of that triumph, we enter into 6 days of work. And this, in part, explains the change from the seventh day to the first day. Yes, it's because of the triumph of Christ and his resurrection, but that signals something deeper and profounder, I think. This essential continuity, for there is essential continuity, should not surprise us in any way at all. God's 10 words, his 10 commandments, were at the heart of the Mosaic phase of the covenant of redemption. The 10 words retain as binding a character on the new covenant believer, as does the principle of faith, which formed the central core of the Abrahamic phase of the covenant of redemption. Paul goes back to Abraham to establish that justification is by faith alone. That was at the very heart of the Abrahamic phase of the covenant of redemption. And it shouldn't surprise us then that when we come to the Mosaic phase, that the very core of that phase, the giving of the law to a redeemed and rescued people, should continue to be obligatory for the new covenant believer. God has wisely ordained for his creation, and not least for his church, a weekly focus for his worship and our growth in grace. On the Sabbath, we rest from our labors. Of course, there are works of necessity and mercy. And the Old Testament actually is very expansive in what can be done actually on the Sabbath day to the praise and glory of God. But on the Sabbath, we rest from our labors, and in doing so, we picture that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from works. And we anticipate the eternal rest which yet awaits the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4. We have entered in measure into that rest, but the fullness of that rest yet awaits us, which is yet another reason why the Sabbath day remains integral and native to biblical religion and worship. So why should Christians keep the Sabbath day holy, that is, set apart and different? Because God commands it, our good requires it, the worship of God is placarded by it, society is the better for it, and the risen Lord Jesus Christ is honoured by it. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that from the dawn of creation, you have given to your cosmos a structure that points us to yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you have embedded a rhythm of rest and work at the heart of your cosmos. And when we honour that rhythm of rest and work that you have instituted, we honour you. Help us, Lord, in these confused times to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, and thereby honour your wisdom, your grace, and the glorious salvation wrought for us by our Lord Jesus Christ, because today we cease from our labours and rejoice in the work of our covenant head, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.